Turn with me to the 100th Psalm. I'll just read the whole Psalm, beginning in verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon this time we have to open your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scripture, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive it. And I thank you for it. Amen. It's kind of funny, really. Often we are asked, what are you thankful for? Does happen often. A lot of times it just is more enhanced as we approach this time of year. But usually, this is not an uncommon thing. On the spur of the moment, we're stumped. We have so much that we can be thankful for, for which we are thankful. But when the question is put to us, we just draw blanks. It happens. You know, I have a friend, haven't seen her in years, but when I would see her, the first thing out of her mouth was, tell me a joke. Yeah. She used to listen to the radio show, and I would joke a little bit on the show, and she'd say, tell me a joke. And it's like, okay, can you give me some time, you know? Many times you were hit with the question, and that's the way it's, you know, it's not that there's nothing there. It's just that we can't come up with something right away. And truthfully, sometimes we don't feel particularly thankful. You know, bad things might have happened to us this week, or we might be having a problem with being inconvenienced in some way. Might just be having a bad hair day, you know. Happens to those of you with hair. But how easy it is to slip into the bog of unthankfulness. Our eyes shift their gaze from that of Almighty God, and they focus on things that pass away, things that just interfere. In the fourth verse of this 100th Psalm, we are commanded to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. This psalm is about worship. It tells us how to worship, how to come into worship. And it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's God's command, and it's our duty to obey it. Webster defined thanks as an expression of gratitude. Gratitude is the feeling or sentiment excited by kindness. Thanks are the expression of that sentiment. Thanksgiving is the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies. As Christian people, we possess a new nature. And thanksgiving is a part of that new nature. But you know what? Even as infants are born with a whole system of muscles, it takes time for those muscles to grow and to develop. And if after some time we don't see any development, that's an indicator that there's a lack of health there, that something is wrong. If we've been Christians for 5, or 10, 15, or more years, and we have difficulty being thankful, then we really need to take a look at our own spiritual health and see, why we're not growing, why we're not developing, why this sanctification process that we're involved in is not producing more thankfulness in ourselves. The fact that thanksgiving is our duty won't make it happen. It won't cause us to express it in a genuine way if our heart isn't right. As we've said before, we can't make you love something. We can't make you desire to be something or somewhere. So even though it's our duty to be thankful, we can't make you be thankful. That's something that has to be real and generated from inside. Truth is, though, that there is a real danger for one who can never come to a proper expression of thanksgiving. Paul said to the Romans in the first chapter of Romans, he says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. Thanklessness is a very real attribute of the reprobate mind. And those who will not acknowledge God as God, those who cannot find it within themselves to be thankful, are living in the danger of God saying, fine, I will just give you over to that reprobate mind. You are given over entirely to your own thinking. Now, if that thought bothers you, thank God. Because if that thought bothers you, you want to do something about it. God has not given you over. God is still working with you, loving you, drawing you, causing you to grow in whatever means he has for you. So we contemplate. What do you have to be thankful for? We contemplate the blessings of God and say, what is it? The 103rd Psalm, which we read for the call to worship this morning, the second verse says, forget not all his benefits. What are the benefits of God? What blessings do we receive? It's easy to consider things that are temporal. Most of us eat on a regular basis. We may not eat what we want. We may not even sometimes eat what we like. But for the most part, we eat. God provides us with food. We can go to our cupboards and refrigerators usually and find something. There was a time in my life when that was not so. There was a Sunday morning when there was nothing in our cupboards. I mean nothing in our cupboards. And there was nothing in the refrigerator but a tray of ice cubes. And we went to church. And when we came home, God had blessed us. A family had dropped several bags of groceries on our back porch. God sees to it that in some way, in some manner, we're fed, even if that feeding consists of hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. It's something. God provides for us. And it must be engraved in our minds that whatever it is, God provided. And we can give him thanks for that. You have a roof over your head? You may not live in the Taj Mahal, but if it keeps the weather out, that's a blessing, especially a morning like this. God provides these things for us. These are temporal blessings, but God provides them for us. Do you have a job or a means of income? You may have one and you may hate it. But consider for a moment having no income. Consider having no way to pay the bills that inevitably come in the mail. And then remember, wherever it is you are, whatever it is you're doing, whether you have a job that pays you money or not, it's God's provision for you. If we don't have a job, if we don't have a job that pays us money, we still have a job. Our job is to find a job that pays us money. So we can never say that we're without work. We can say that we're without pay. But we can never say that we're without work. And regardless, if we put the effort, God will bless that. We thank Him for that. He provides. God has blessed you with a family. And you may have a family that includes some ne'er-do-wells. We all do. Even if you're not in the present family, if you go back far enough, I'm sure you all had an Uncle Louie that was hanged for stealing horses or something like that, or was a bootlegger, or shared the ship deck with Blackbeard or something, go back far enough. There's some of those. And there are some family members that we are very close with. God blessed you with a family for His purpose. He didn't leave you alone. He puts you in families. You know what? You may be the only one in your family who has saving faith. And it's quite possible that God did that so that you can evangelize your family. It's possible. I'm not saying that He did, but it's possible. You might be the one that God uses to bring others to saving faith in Christ. We can limit ourselves to temporal blessings. And if we did that, we could probably make a list much longer than that. We could be thankful for the nation that God placed us in. For the most part, most of us were raised in freedom. Freedoms, I think, are leaving at a fast pace. But for the most part, we were raised in a land that was free. We might think as a temporal blessing, the church that God has placed us in. But those blessings, they're both temporal and they're everlasting. God blesses in those ways. Some of God's blessings, some of God's benefits that we ought not forget, they go well beyond the limits of this life. Even though they're not necessarily separated from it. In verse 5 of this psalm, we're told that His mercy is everlasting. Spurgeon said, so long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. How long will we receive the mercy of God? God's mercy for His children has been extended from before the beginning of time and will continue into glory. We, as His children, experience His mercy day in and day out. Do you know why? Because we still continue to sin and we live. When we break the law of God, when we sin, we are deserving of death instantaneously. And yet the mercy of Almighty God says, no, you can have another breath. You may continue. Your heart can continue to beat. We were saved mercifully from the wrath of God, the wrath that we all deserve, by the obedient and atoning work of Jesus Christ. Ought we not to be thankful for that? Jesus Christ, God incarnate. It's mind-boggling. We can't comprehend God in His being. We can't do it. We can comprehend humanity. And to think that God would humiliate Himself to take on a cloak of humanity, to live an obedient life, totally obedient. We can't comprehend that. We can't do it. We want to. At least I would think we would want to as Christians. We want to be completely obedient. But there's not a day that goes by where we somehow don't break that law. Yet Jesus managed. 33 and a half years of human living. Never to sin one single time. We should be thankful for that. Because that is what makes His atonement valid. Had Jesus messed up even one time, His death wouldn't have counted. Wouldn't have been the same. We see God's mercy in His willingness to forgive our sins. Even repeated sins. When we confess them. We're not that way. If somebody messes with us one time, we might be willing to forgive them, to say, oh, you know, it's okay. Somebody does the same thing to us twice, you're going to be less inclined, but even then, maybe you let them off the hook. You say, all right, all right. Somebody messes with us 100 times, it ain't happening. We're not letting anybody off. You know what? Somebody messes with us, they're total losers. They don't even get in my space, you know? Get nowhere near me because I've got nothing I want to do with you. We are unwilling to forgive. Yet Jesus says that he told Peter, you know, you got to forgive up to 70 times 7. And he wasn't meaning just 240 times. 490 times. I'm sorry. What can I tell you? I drive. I don't do math. He meant as often as you are sinned against, you'll be willing to forgive because that's what He does with us. And He tells us that, you know what, when we go to Him and we ask forgiveness, if we won't forgive, we can't expect forgiveness. Is that something we can be thankful for? That we can humbly go before Him and ask forgiveness and know we get it. We give thanks for God's leading in our life, even if we don't always understand it. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, and he said, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. God who directs our path, God who ordains our steps, always leads us in triumph in Christ. We may look at ourselves and we might see a guy who stumbles a little bit. But the thing is, God doesn't lead us in our name. We are not triumphant. I am not triumphant in the name of Jim. Because Jim's kind of a loser. I am triumphant in Christ, as are you. He leads us always in triumph. We don't have to walk around defeated. We're not defeated. He leads us in triumph in Christ. We should be thankful for that. And we can be thankful that even death cannot harm us. Death is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave. He arose. Some people will say that they fear death, and that's common to human nature. I can honestly say I do not fear death. But I heard Dr. Sproul say it once, and I have to stand in full agreement. I do have some concerns about the process in getting there. Death itself doesn't scare me. I would love to just go to sleep one night, and that would be it. When I read Fox's Book of Martyrs and I see some of the things that our brothers and sisters went through, I'm saying that probably was not a happy time for them necessarily to go through the agony. And yet, when you read those things, you never see testimonies of people saying, I hate you for this, Lord. Everyone who went to their death as a martyr, there's some testimony on their lips of praise to God even at that hour. Because they understood that death was not the end of it all. Death could not harm them. Jesus defeated death. Again, Paul writing to the Corinthians in the first book, the first letter. Thanks be to God, in the 15th chapter. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear death because of the victory of Christ. And thank God for that. Our mortal bodies will one day die, save for Christ's return. It's only a temporary condition. Some of us might look longingly for death because, hey, well, finally get some rest. But it's only a temporary condition. There is a day coming when those who have passed away, our loved ones, maybe ourselves at some point, are going to rise again. Our spirit at the time of our physical death goes to the presence of God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And yet, at the resurrection, the body that goes in the ground comes back up only in a perfected state. The body that went into the ground, maybe riddled with cancer, comes out, not a thing wrong. Better than ever. The body that went into ground, perhaps with body parts missing, comes back to life whole. Everything's there. Just as Jesus was victorious over death, so will we be in Him. And finally, Paul writing to the Thessalonians. This is a verse that you're familiar with. You can quote it in your sleep. It says, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, what involves everything? If we are to give thanks in everything, does that exclude anything? If you find a way for that to happen, I question your sanity. Somehow or another, your mind has split. He tells us to give thanks in everything. So when our days are tremendous, we give thanks. And when our days stink like the dung pile, we give thanks. When we've been blessed with a new car, we give thanks. When we've been blessed by taking the old car to the junkyard, we give thanks. We no longer have to put money into that thing. There is no situation in life where a child of God has an opt-out. Where we're free to say, no, I don't have to give you thanks for that, God. Because we are to give God thanks in everything, all the time, in all ways. Whatever our circumstance, we need to be thankful. And by God's grace, we will. Let's pray.